Today on Real Radio.
The Supreme Court is not going to decide and change the definition of marriage. They're not going to do it. They're not. What if they do? You don't understand. It can never be changed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called The Problem with Jesus. It's a collection of studies that takes a look at the person and the work of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in the opening verses of Mark 14, we're told of the well-known account of the woman who interrupts a meal attended by Jesus so that she could pour a very expensive oil on his head. Well, some of the table objected. Yet both she and Jesus knew about the cultural significance of this act of worship, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called The Problem with Jesus, He is Worshipped.
You know, I was doing the service, so I was holding back my emotions a lot. But, you know, I don't know, when was the last time you've cried? Have you cried? You said, oh, don't cry. Okay. But, man, I found out on Saturday, even if you're holding back tears, it's so expensive to care. It's very tiring. And when you cry or you want to cry, you get a headache. I had forgotten that. It had been a long time since I'd cried. I had a headache. And you're so tired afterwards. How can that happen? Because there's a power in it all. When you know stuff or when you go through stuff, it's wearisome. And I'm thinking right now how Jesus, can you imagine? He knows everything that's inside this worshiper's heart. And he wants to cry for joy. And then at the same time, Judas is across town selling Jesus out. This week in history, on this Wednesday in history. What a range of emotion, huh? Can you put yourself in that for a second? Oh, your thought, oh man, that was awesome what she did. She did this for my burial. She got it. Oh man, but Judas, he saw so much. He knows so much. How could he not believe? See, God knew from all time and eternity that Judas would take the path he did. God didn't put a spiritual gun to his head and say, now, Judas, someone's got to go down this road, so sorry, sucker. No, God knew all along, before the world was ever suspended, that Judas would be the turncoat. But that doesn't comfort God's heart at all. He weeps over the death of the wicked. What an amazing thing. So you've got this dynamic taking place. What was Judas thinking when he got up? He saw them. By the way, that was the trigger. The worship, true worship, brought up the, can I put it this way? Brought up the fungus. Brought up the what? The pus. What's gross? What? Bile. Puke. Yeah. That's good. Worship brought it up. Don't get me wrong. Jesus was fine. He kept his dinner. The woman was fine. Probably everybody else around the room was fine. But Judas just, oh, worship. If you're ever down, depressed, hurting, you have some terror in the night, some thought arises, against all emotion, get up and worship. Watch what happens. It's cheaper than a pill. And it will last. And Judas is walking down the road somewhere, going to meet up with these guys in the evening hours. What's he thinking? Oh, I wonder how much they'll pay me. Man, maybe I shouldn't do this. Because remember, after he does it, he regrets it. maybe I should not. Those guys are rich. Those minister dudes over there in Jerusalem, those high priests, they got their unlimited wealth. And the guys, listen, he bails out on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You say, well, I mean, that must have been a lot, right? Well, first of all, it was prophetic. It was written in the prophets that the son of perdition would sell out the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. That was written. So don't think for a moment, oh, Judas read the Bible, went in there and he said, look, instead of $1 million to fulfill scripture, give me 30 pieces of silver. No. Isn't it interesting that 30 pieces of silver is what was the money for a slave? And is it interesting, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew's gospel presents Jesus as king. Matthew, listen, in the tribulation period, and even now when there's many Jews, that it's on the lowdown big time, but Jews are coming to know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus as Messiah. Now watch this. They got to keep it quiet, just like Nicodemus did. But when they start reading the Bible, you know what, in the New Testament? They'll go to Matthew. You know the genealogies that you and I skip over? I shouldn't say that. The women's ministry just poured their lives into studying that stuff, and it's awesome. It is amazing. In fact, let me finish my point. Actually, you're fine. It's me interrupting myself. They open up Matthew, and they start reading the genealogies, and they wind up getting saved in the genealogies. Because that's why God put him there, for a Jew. Begat, and this means everything to me, and I'm all in the family, and we're all in the line, and about the blood, and I hid this guy, and this guy, and this guy. And imagine this. Imagine a Jew today sneaking around. I'm going to read the New Testament. And he starts reading it with Google. I'm serious. I'm not joking. And he looks up David. Lineage of David. Boom. I agree with all that stuff. Then watch. He gets into Matthew and he starts going, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, all the way back, Abraham. How could I not see this? Let me just keep reading Matthew. This was done, that was done. For example, Jesus had to go to Egypt. You remember that when he was a baby? And the scripture says, because God knew all things. He knew that the Roman leadership would come after the life of Jesus. So God sent his son to Egypt. And then what did the prophets say? The prophets foretold, out of Egypt I will call my son. Egypt? What in the world does Egypt have to do with anything? God loves Egypt. Do you know that? Did you know in Isaiah chapter 18 and 19, God says Egypt will be like Israel to me? It's pretty messed up right now. God's got a plan for Egypt. Are you Egyptian? God's got a plan for your native land. It's going to be amazing. Wow. Anyway, so, and this was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet saying. You read that all in Matthew. Why? Because Jesus is presented in Matthew as king. Mark, smallest gospel, most miracles. Why? Mark does not give the lineage, the pedigree of Jesus, not once. Did you know that, Mark? Why? Because Jesus comes in the Gospel of Mark as the servant. Servants don't have a genealogy. They just do things. And Jesus does more miracles in Mark's Gospel. So when you start reading the Gospels in that arrangement that God must have presided over when they assembled, the layout of the scriptures, I believe God was involved in that. Jesus is a servant in Mark. Then you come to Luke. What does Luke? Luke doesn't call Jesus king. Luke doesn't call Jesus a servant. Luke calls Jesus the Son of Man. This is significant because what was Luke's occupation? He was a physician. And the words that he uses in Luke's gospel speak about the anatomy of a man. It's from Luke that we know more about the blood, more about the crucifixion, the details of it. We know more about demon possession or about injury or about... Luke explains in medical terms the things about man, and Jesus presents himself as the Son of Man. In Luke, isn't that cool? And then John, oh, by the way, there's a genealogy in Matthew, there's a genealogy in Luke, and there's a genealogy in the next gospel, John. So where's the genealogy in John? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, outside of that, you don't need much credentials. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's pretty amazing. John is Jesus' deity. That's why if we're ever doing a study and we're talking about the deity of Jesus, and if you ever catch on, because books have themes. Wow, you know what? Regarding that point, he's quoted John three times. Ah, yeah, it must be about the deity of Jesus. Because John announces the Godhead of Jesus Christ. And before the throne of God, day and night, are the angelic beings. And the seraphim have one head. It's weird. One head, but four faces. Go figure that one out. And they're before the throne of God day and night. And when they move, by the way, they move like this. Watch this. They go like this when they move. Okay? I have to watch out. They go like this. When they move, they go like this. And Ezekiel tells us they never move their heads. That in whichever direction they move, one of their faces faces forward. And it appears that they do that for whatever is needed at the moment. So for example, if they have four faces, what are these faces? Number one, there's a face of a lion. Lion to a Jew speaks of kingship, royalty. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark, remember what Mark is? The servant slave, right? The other side of the head is an ox, a beast of burden, something that does. Isn't it interesting? To sanctify the temple, you have to have sacrifice a red heifer, a beast of burden. The other, third, Luke's gospel, the Son of Man, the other head is a man's face on the seraphim. And deity, and all this relates to the Jewish mind. That's why the book of Revelation is so Jewish. John's gospel depicts Jesus as God. How do the Jews see God? I'll give you a hint. I will bear you up on face of an eagle. The gospel is, the four gospels are represented in heaven by angelic creatures. Jesus, why is there four gospels? Because Jesus, whatever you need, remember he's the I am, the ego eimi, the same name of the one in the burning bush. What do you need? Do you need protection? Do you need security? Whatever you need, I believe that the Lord will come to you. When you open up your Bibles and you read, and God knows your need. I'm scared, or I'm tired, or I need vision, or I need, you know, whatever your need is. I believe that when you open up the Word of God, in a sense, because you remember how Daniel prayed, for example, and the angel was dispatched to give him an answer? I believe that when you read your Bible, God, who knows all things before you ask, sends the answer of the great mediator, Jesus, to you, and he will illuminate your eyes to the scriptures. How can you and I read the same verse and get something totally different out of it, and it ministers to our soul? How can it be that an 8-year-old kid gets saved in the same Sunday morning sermon that a 79-year-old man gets saved. How does that happen? Because for one, the face comes in the form of a lion. It's the word of God. But the Spirit of God ministers his kingship to your heart. And the other person, they might need assurance, or they might need comfort. And God will come with the other facet of that face and say to your heart, I've come here to bless you, to serve you, to give you these spiritual gifts or to whatever. And he might come to you in the form of that seraphim's face representing the ox of service. Or you might need healing and the ox of service or of miracles. Judas is betraying Jesus this night, Wednesday, 2,000 years ago. And I thank God that this is the greatest week in all of history. And it's the great, how can God do this? Because he comes to me in whatever I am, ego emi. I am the becoming one to what I need. This week, 2,000 years later, he comes to me and he says things like, Jack, I know exactly how you feel. I'm the Son of Man. I know exactly how and what you need. And so I say to you, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Thank you, Lord. And he's coming to you tonight with a word to you. It's who he is. And so he turns and tells the group, she's done a good thing for me tonight. She sees something ahead, which is my burial, and she's worshiped and prepared. Church, I want you to really, really nurture thinking ahead this week, regarding this week. Because you know what? And man, I tell you, this is an awesome time to be alive. For example, North Korea, what are they doing? We just found out today, did you hear about this, that the Pentagon told us today? That whatever North Korea has been doing with their rockets, we somehow found out that their trajectory that's in their computers, I'd like to know how we found that out, but I wouldn't understand it anyway, so. That North Korea has been doing electronic practice launches and bombings, and the targets, I forget one of them, but one of the targets was Taiwan, Hawaii, and Guam. And we found out. That's interesting. China's acting really weird. Cracking into our defense system computers. Big time. Some of them have been found, some, whatever they've been spying on, they've been able to do it. We didn't detect it for months. And they've got all kinds of super secret data. What's going on? Middle East is about ready to see something exciting happen. What's going on? So all that stuff comes and goes all the time. Yeah, but take that and take earthquakes going on and volcanoes happening. Four of them going off at the same time right now. Earthquakes, nations coming apart. Did you see the news last night where the violence in Europe over gay marriage? Violence, bloody violence. And then the European Union stepped in and took, the European Union went into people's bank accounts and took money out of their banks to pay the Cyprus debt for the nation of Cyprus. And they didn't even ask the European Union citizens. Oh my gosh. What's going on? What's going on? Jesus is coming. That's what's going on. It's amazing. When? I don't know when. Could be tonight, could be 10 years from now. Please, Lord, no. But look what's happening. And look, we'll end with this. I mean it. We'll really end with this. People are asking me, And I'm getting calls. Poor Robin, my secretary, is getting calls. This newspaper wants to talk to you. This people, the interview, they want to interview about Proposition 8. They want an interview about marriage. They want to know what your opinion is on marriage. I said, forget it. I got work to do. We made that very clear in 2008. Let me be very clear that we stand for Bible. Civil rights, this, I don't care. Bible. And last night on Bill O'Reilly, he was mocking the Bible. He was mocking Christians. He was mocking marriage. All this stuff going on. What's going on? Supreme Court, and they're going to decide. They're going to decide and finally make a decision on this archaic Judeo-Christian view. You know what? Listen, you don't need to make it. You don't need to panic, people. Don't ask me anymore. And I'm not answering these newspapers and these news agencies that are calling. We already answered all that. Our position hasn't changed because it's biblical. Here's the deal. The Supreme Court is not going to decide and change the definition of marriage. They're not going to do it. They're not, what if they do? You don't understand. It can never be changed. It's impossible. But they're going to make a law. They're going to make, yes. You're making a fatal mistake, though. The Supreme Court thinks that they're sitting in judgment on the Bible and God's definition of marriage. The Supreme Court, since they decided to take this on, they're on trial. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, read your Bibles. God, in his courtroom, it has reached a level where the judge of the universe is currently, presently judging our Supreme Court. They think they're judging. This issue that's biblical has reached the point of our nation. This is the tipping point for the rest of for the future of our country. How they decide, God will move. He's the one judging them. You, listen, as a nation, we will be judged, and you and I will suffer unless the Lord comes back. National judgment, even the most righteous people will suffer terribly. Do you understand that? There's national judgments, the best of Christians will suffer terribly. That's a national judgment. Personal judgment, it's not going to happen to you. Big difference. Pray for our nation and pray for the Supreme Court that they decide righteously, because listen, I'm not choosing sides in this argument I'm presenting right now. What I'm saying is this right now. God is judging. His word is true. He invented marriage, and nothing changes. Very important stuff. We're living in amazing moments. I hope you know Jesus. You are either a worshiper tonight or not.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. And of course, anyone who tries to deny the deity of the Messiah still faces one key problem with Jesus. He is worshipped. In fact, that's the title of this lesson, He is Worshipped. It's part of Pastor Jack's multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series, The Problem with Jesus, is available for you on a 4-DVD set. And as you can tell, it's really going to be a useful tool and study series for effective evangelism. That's why we're offering Pastor Jack's series, The Problem with Jesus, in a 4-DVD set for your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, The Problem with Jesus, the 4-DVD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found real easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.